Greetings, everyone. To our guests, as always, we are joyful to have you among our audience. We're glad that you were able to be here tonight. If this is your first time visiting us here at the Southeast Church of Christ, we thank you and we welcome you. And we pray that you will be richly fed with the word of our God, as well as with each and every act of worship that we have engaged in spirit and in truth. To our brethren who were not here this morning, we're glad to see you here tonight. Welcome back. And to those who were here this morning and have returned tonight, again, we are grateful and rejoice in you returning so that together we can fellowship with one another and stir each other up to love and good works. If you will, please bow with me in prayer so that we can then focus and concentrate before our lesson tonight. Pray with me. Our precious and heavenly Father, hallowed be thy name. Lord, we approach thy throne of grace with love, with joy, and with reverence. Father, we acknowledge that you are our God, and Father, we pray that we are acknowledged by thee as your people. As we, Father, now come to this portion of worship where we sit at thy feet to listen, Lord, and to learn from thy word, please, Father, allow us to put on pause the affairs of this life, that, Father, whatever troubles are worrying our minds or concerning us, please, Lord, grant us the strength to focus and to concentrate on you and on your word that is going to be taught, Father, from this night. That we, Lord, may absorb, Father, these lessons that are found by thy inspired scriptures, and that we, Father, may meditate upon them, that we may concentrate, and that we may find the application for our own lives, Father. Forgive us for the sins that we have committed, and thank you once more for thy love. For we pray this in the glorious and mighty name of your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen. If you were here this morning, you know that this morning we came into Romans chapter 13. And in Romans chapter 13, verse 10, we were able to read about the loftiest word, that word love, that Greek word of agape. And we were able to learn from this chapter itself how we learned, first and foremost, that by loving God first with all of our mind, with all of our body, with all of our hearts, and with all of our souls, meaning our entire being, we then can learn how to love one another and eventually will learn to love perfectly as Christ loves us. But now tonight, we've entitled our lesson, The Ticking of Eternity. And you see, when we mention this title, when we give this title, this lesson, we're thinking once again about the last section of the 13th chapter. If you will, turn with me to Romans chapter 13, verses 11 through 14. And I want you to keep in mind what our brother has already read in our scripture reading as far as what the message is found there in Mark 13. Remember that at the conclusion of the reading, our Lord Christ tells us and he encourages us, he exhorts us to watch. Now pay attention to how loving as Christ loves also helps us to watch for our own salvation. Romans chapter 13, verses 11 through 14 says, "And do this, knowing the time, that now it is high time to awake out of sleep. For now our salvation is nearer than when we first believed. The night is far spent. The day is at hand. Therefore let us cast off the works of darkness and let us put on the armor of light. Let us walk properly as in the day, not in revelry and drunkenness, not in lewdness and lust, not in strife and envy, but put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provision for the flesh to fulfill its lusts." May God bless his word. See, brethren, what we read here is about the ticking of eternity. There is much that I've read and much that I've seen as far as to what the meaning is of the night is far spent. But as we've learned in the book of Proverbs on Wednesday nights, many of these lessons that are found in the infinite and eternal mind of our God can have more than one meaning and yet still find the same principle. For example, there are some who believe that what Paul is talking about here is in reference to the fact that our Lord will soon return, that this world will be no more, and that the day of judgment, that for those who are faithful is a great, glorious day, will finally arrive and our faith will manifest into its fruits. They believe that when Paul talked about that day is closer than before, he was referring to the end of all things. And yes, this application can apply. Yes, this principle can indeed apply. But the same is true with, we see, the other school of thought refers to the fact that Paul was talking about, that every day that you and I live is one day less that we have to live in this world. That every day that you and I, in every minute and every second of life that we have, it is the night continuing to move further and further toward dawn. Meaning then that we are closer to death today than what we were yesterday. We are closer to death this evening than what we were this morning. And that, my friends, is an undeniable truth. One that also teaches us why this can also apply. But regardless what it is, as we read in Mark 13, notice that the reason Paul is teaching this is because his words are mirroring or echoing the commandment of our Lord Savior Jesus Christ. We have to watch. We have to be diligent. We have to be active in our faith, because whether we die or whether the Lord returns in our lifetime or whether he comes afterward, our night is far spent. We are closer to our salvation than what we were yesterday. When we read this passage, brethren, and we see this, the ticking of eternity is a reminder that one day Jesus will return. The ticking of eternity is a reminder that one day, you and I, we will die. And the ticking of eternity is that one day, we will all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, where we will have to give an account of everything that we have done while in the body, whether good or bad, in accordance to 2 Corinthians 5, 10 and forward. For this reason, friends, it is important and it is wise for us to not ignore that ticking from eternity. It is important and it is wise for us to understand that although we can and we should enjoy this life, we should take in the blessings that God has given us, it is better, as we've seen in the book of Ecclesiastes, it is better to remember that one day we will be in eternity. And what side of eternity we want to find ourselves in depends on how diligent or how negligent we use our time. Therefore, as we read again verses 11 through 14, and we look at it in pauses and in sections, notice the formula that is given to us by the inspired apostle. Notice how we take advantage of this now that we are Christians. And let me go on record and say that these words apply to Christians. These words apply to those obedient Christians who have already gone through the waters of baptism. This applies to those who have already chosen to wear Christ and are now being instructed on how to remain in a state of justification. And pay attention to verse 11. And doing this, knowing the time, that now is high time to awake out of sleep, for now our salvation is nearer than when we first believed. Here is a third way in which this application or this principle can be explained. You see, for the Christians, it is clearly more nearer than what it was when we were not Christians. When we were not Christians, we were far away from our salvation. When we were out in the world, living as worldly and carnally people, we were nowhere near salvation. And for this reason, Ephesians chapter 2, verses 1 through 3 teaches us that we were dead in our trespasses and sins. In Colossians chapter 2, we too learn that we have to be buried with Christ in order so that we can rise to a newness of life. But turn with me, if you will, to Ephesians chapter 5 and pay attention to what the Apostle Paul tells the Ephesians in that section. Notice that the time, brethren, as we are told there in Ephesians 5, in parallel account with Romans 13, is that we must understand that the time is no longer to slumber. Pay attention to what the Bible says beginning there at verse 8. For you were once darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. For the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness, righteousness, and truth, finding out what is acceptable to the Lord. And have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather expose them. For it is shameful even to speak of those things which are done by them in secret. But all things that are exposed are made manifest by the light, for whatever makes manifest is light. Therefore, he says, awake you who sleep, arise from the dead, and Christ will give you light. See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. Friends, these words are spoken to Christians. These words are not spoken to disobedient men and women. These words are not being spoken to the Jews that Paul had lamented of in Romans chapter 9 and Romans chapter 10. These words are not being spoken to those who have yet to put on Christ, because they continue in slumber. They continue to sleep as the time passes by. Notice that in verse 8, it begins by saying, you were once darkness. This is the same as saying, you were once dead, but now you are alive. Or the application, as Paul makes it in Romans 13, you were once asleep, but now is the time for you to get out of bed. Now is the time for you to wake up from your slumber, to rise from your bed, and to take your bed and walk. Now is not the time for you to continue to slumber. You see, verse 14 is words that are spoken to Christians. Therefore, he says, awake you who sleep, arise from the dead, and Christ will give you light. How do we fulfill this? How do we make this applicable in our lives? How do we follow this principle? Verse 15 and verse 16, redeeming the time because the days are evil. Brethren, when we choose to sleep in, when we choose to be continued in bed instead of getting up early so that we can pray on a Monday, or getting up early so that we can meditate before we have to go to work. No, I want those extra 10 minutes. Let me snooze. I want to sleep more. We are not redeeming the time. We are not redeeming the time. You see, to slumber, brethren, is for the nighttime, says the Apostle Paul. Did you notice how the Apostle Paul says there in Romans 13 once more, the night is far spent. You see, Christ himself mentioned that the night was for resting. The night was for slumbering. But the day is for us to work. The day is for us to become active and to be diligent. We've been risen from our spiritual sleep. We have been awoken by Christ and his light. And because we have been awoken, Christ, like he did that paralytic man many times ago, he has given us the instructions to rise, to take our beds, and to walk. God does not want slothful people. God does not want lazy Christians. Because Christ, says to the lukewarm, will vomit us from his mouth. You see, as Christians, we have a purpose. As Christians, we now have direction. And our Lord Jesus Christ said about his Father, our Father, that even on the day of Sabbath, he worked. Therefore, we too, on this day, must work. Brethren, the time is far spent for us to continue in slumber. It is too late in the day for us to continue sleeping in bed. You know, I remember when I was younger, brethren, when summer came out, I never forget the first week after school, my mother only allowed us that 1 week to sleep in. And we can sleep in as long as we want it. And I remember that one time my record was 3 in the afternoon. But it was because I was up all night until 6, 7 in the morning. And once that week was over, once I had adapted to the awake at night and sleep during the day, guess what happened? I was waking up right again at 5:30 in the morning to help clean the house, to mow the lawn, to do our laundry. Because she would only give us 1 week. She did not want us to become accustomed to the habit that we then would not be able to break once the school year began again. Now that I'm older, brethren, what I call sleeping in is 8:30, 9 in the morning. My body has become accustomed to get up early that even if I want to sleep past 9 or 10, I can't. And sometimes I'm up late at night. But because the day is out and my body knows the time of day that it is, my mind automatically wakes me up and tells me it's time to go to work. It's time to get dressed and go to work. Go back with me to Romans chapter 13. So pay attention to our first point, that it is time to go to work. It is time to get up from bed and go to work. But then notice what we are seeing there in verse 12. The night is far spent. The day is at hand. Therefore, let us cast off the works of darkness and let us put on the armor of light. Can you imagine if this morning I would have gotten up believing that it is still slumber and nighttime, and instead of being dressed in my work clothes, I came here in my pajamas? What if I came in my shorts and my t-shirt because, well, I just got out of bed, my hair disheveled, and then I decided, well, you know, in my mind, it's still nighttime. No, notice, brethren, it is time to change. It is time to change. Cast off the works of darkness. Take off your night clothes. Take off your night hoodie. Take off your gown because you're about to go out into the world. You're not in your bedroom in the comfort of your room anymore. If we've risen out of our metaphorical beds, it's time to put on the uniform. It is time for us to wear our work clothes. We are not about to go out into the field in our slippers. We have to put on our work boots. We have to put on our uniform. Notice that we have to remove the clothes of darkness, the works of darkness, and we have to change into the armor of light. It is time to transform. You know, for the ladies, this word is very easily understood. Nighttime, no makeup. Time to work while you're driving, makeup, and you transform. Well, this is what the Bible is telling us. You have to change. You cannot be the man that you were before baptism. You have to now be the man in Christ required to serve him. It is no longer time to walk around in our night clothing. It is no longer time for me to continue to walk around as if I am very nonchalant. If you've noticed lately, we, the eldership and myself, in solidarity, have made an effort to do a better effort to look more presentable morning and evening so that there is no distinction. Because evening worship is not inferior to morning worship. Worship is always going to be superior, no matter the time. We come to work. We're coming to the temple as priests of the great King to offer those sacrifices that please him. Therefore, we must be ready, dressed in our priestly garments, who is Christ Jesus, so that we can offer a sweet-smelling aroma to our God. I cannot get up, and my mind is still asleep. I cannot wake up out of bed with a mind that is still in the clouds because I'm still dreaming. I have to renew my mind, says Scripture. When I look at myself in the mirror and I see that I'm all dressed, that communicates to my mind, it's time to work. It isn't time to slumber. It isn't time for me to just keep on the suit and go back to bed and sleep again. The change of clothing tells me that there is a change of time, and a change of time indicates that there is a diligence to be met in my daily life. Brethren, we are no longer of the world, and therefore we should no longer speak, think, or walk as if we were of the world. Those were our night clothes, or let's use the other example, those were our funeral clothes. That was the suit that we were wearing in the tomb. But now that we are alive, we should dress as live people. We should be all in uniform, ready to work. When people see us dressed in uniform, they should know that we're not about to go play, but rather that we are about to go get our hands dirty out in the field. So notice, brethren, it is no longer time to sleep. It is time to rise out of bed. It is now time for us to change into our work clothes. But pay attention now to verse 13. Let us walk properly as in the day, not in revelry and drunkenness, not in lewdness and lust, not in strife and envy. It is time to be diligent in our work. It is time for us to put our hands on the plow and not look back. Turn with me to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, beginning there at verse 4, but you, brethren, are not in darkness so that this day should overtake you as a thief. You're all sons of light and sons of the day. We are not of the night nor of the darkness. Therefore, let us not sleep as others do, but let us watch and be sober. For those who sleep, sleep at night, and those who get drunk are drunk at night. But let us who are of the day be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and love, and as a helmet, the hope of salvation. For God did not appoint us to wrath, but to obtain salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ. Brethren, we know that whether it is death or whether it is the return of the Lord, we know that the day is arriving quickly. Every day that I wake up is a day nearer to the return of my Lord. Every day I inch closer to death, it is a day nearer to me being in the presence of the Lord. The Apostle Paul brings this up in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 1 through 9. He speaks about the fact that while we are in this tabernacle, that is to say this body, we are absent from the Lord. But when we are absent from this tabernacle, meaning that when we die, we will be in the presence of the Lord. That is the day that is drawing nearer to us than it did yesterday. Every day that I live inches closer and closer to that glorious reunion with God. But it is only glorious for those who are found diligently working in His service. How were those servants found in the days of Noah? How were those prophets found in the days of Sodom and Gomorrah? Where were the prophets in the land of Israel, the kingdom of the north, when Jeroboam decided to build those shrines at Dan and Bethel? They were all slumbering when they should have been awake, proclaiming God's news. Brethren, we have been called to service. Our brother just recently announced a day when we're going to go and knock doors and ring the bell of salvation. But how many will stay home because it's a Saturday and it's the only day they can rest? How many of you have heard or have told me, brother, you need to rest? No, my day of rest will come when the Lord gives it to me. It is time to work. It is time to serve. There are too many who are resting, and there's too much work and too few laborers to rest. Brethren, we must be diligent. But if you want me to rest, then work with me. The more of us that we work, the more opportunity I have to rest. The more of us that work together and diligently, the less load we have to do on our own. But it is time to be diligent in the vineyard of our Lord. It is time to find ourselves being faithful and loyal in service of Him. We don't know when He's going to come. Mark 13 begins, "For that day and that hour, no one knows but the Father." And this is why the way it ends is, "Watch therefore, for you know not the day nor the hour." How do we want our Lord to find us when He returns? Do we want Him to find us sleeping on the job? Do you want Him to find you sleeping while you should be out working? Do you want to hear the same words that Peter heard when he was supposed to be praying, and instead he was found sleeping? Can't you pray with me 1 hour? Watch and pray so that you enter not into temptation. We are sons of light and sons of the day. Therefore, let us walk as sons of light. Therefore, as we see in Romans 13, it is time to rise from our slumber. It is time to change. It is time to be diligent. But now let's go back to Romans 13. And notice how he wraps this up. And it's so beautiful how the Apostle Paul, through inspiration, teaches us. Verse 14, but put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provisions for the flesh to fulfill its lusts. It is time to focus on that which is spiritual. It is time to concentrate on the eternal. It is time to walk as Christ Jesus walked. Brethren, we've spent too much time already focusing on this flesh. We've spent too much time focusing on the lust of our eyes. We've already spent too much time focusing on the pride of this life. And the question that Paul asks there in Romans chapter 6 is, what do you have to show for it? How did it serve you long term? How did it help you long term? No, you see, it is no longer time to focus on the temporary. It's no longer time to be lulled into complacency. It is no longer the time to continue to daydream. It is time to concentrate and to focus on the matters of above and not from below. Turn with me, if you will, to 2 Corinthians chapter 4. In 2 Corinthians, chapter 4, verses 16 through 18. Therefore, we do not lose heart. Even though our outward man is perishing, there's the night is far spent. Yet the inward man is being renewed day by day. There's the advantage of focusing on the spiritual. For our light affliction, which is not birth, but for a moment, is working for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. While we do not look at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporary, but the things which are not seen are eternal. You see, when we look at ourselves, brethren, and we look at in the mirror and we see the differences that time has taken on us. You know, on some of us, time has been kind, and on other of us, time has been unkind. But no one of us look the same like when we were young or children. We can see the transition of time in our own bodies. How do we react to the transformation? Do we react out of fear because it is an indication death is right around the corner? Or do we rejoice because I know my glory will soon be secured? When we hear the ticking of eternity, do we react like Felix, who he trembled when he heard about the day of judgment? He trembled when he heard about being righteous. Or do we react like Stephen, who can clearly see the Lord waiting for us to give us the reward he has promised us? If we put on the Lord, as Romans 13, 14 teaches us, then we're going to learn to see the joy behind the cross. We're going to hear the words of our Lord to be prepared. You see, brethren, it is time to be ready. It is time to focus on the spiritual. To focus on the spiritual means it is time to prepare to come face to face with our Lord. When we do, how will we respond to his inquiry? Are we ready to give answer for all that we've done in the flesh? Are we ready to respond to him as to that question of, what did you do with the time and the life that I gave you? How did you use the body that I granted you? Am I ready to answer those questions? Or am I trying to find a way to extend my time here on earth because I know that I have wasted my time in lewdness, in lusts, and in carnally things? See, the Apostle Paul says that the end of those carnal things, the ends of these worldly affairs, is death. When we think about that, we're always saying, oh, the result of. No, the passage actually in the direct context is saying they end with death. You can only enjoy them while you're here on earth and alive. But they don't follow you. The wealth that you spent your life amassing, it doesn't follow you. The legacy that you spend a lifetime building up, it does not follow you. The fame and the recognition, it stays behind in this world. Paul mentions there in 2 Corinthians 4, we do not see the things that are temporary. If our main and primary focus is solely and exclusively tethered to this world, it's going to stay here. And in eternity, we will be empty-handed. We will not have what we need to pay for our entrance into the kingdom. We will not bring that sacrificial lamb that was supposed to be offered before entering into the grounds of the temple. Brethren, the time has come to prepare. The time has when passed for those of us who have obeyed the gospel. The time has been since the day we rose to newness of life to stop focusing on this world and to start focusing on eternity. It is no longer time for us to ignore the ticking of eternity. It has been for a while time for us to give it our full and undivided attention. One day we will no longer be in this world, whether it's through death or whether it's through the return of our Lord. But when that day arrives, will we be ready? Are we now redeeming the time because the days are evil? I am closer to my salvation today than I was yesterday. But friend, I hate to tell you this, and I love you, but because I love you, I have to tell you this. You are the furthest away from salvation of all of us. Because you have not yet been made alive by the gospel of Christ, and you remain dead in your sins and trespasses. But tonight, that can change. Thus, we encourage you, be diligent. If you know that you need Christ, and you know what it is you must do, wait no longer. Because the longer you wait, the harder your heart has a tendency to become. And we don't want you to reach a point of no return in your life. Therefore, if there is anyone in need of our prayers, or if there's someone in need to become a child of God tonight, we encourage you to come forward as we stand and we sing.